I don't know if you guys can see what's up here, but it's a kids game called Jenga. How many of you guys have played that? It's good times, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah.
It's a good game, yeah. I do like it. My kids know that I like it. And we have some pretty intense competitions. But it's a simple game. It's a bunch of wooden blocks, three spread across in threes, and then stacked up on top of one another. And all you got to do is pull out one of the bricks and place it on top. And pretty simple that way. But the game has rules, of course. You can only do so much. You can only use one hand, I think, is one of the rules. And I think I'll get this one. And it just goes on top like that. But of course, if you pull out something that's essential to the foundation of this thing, it's going to wobble and then you lose. Then it falls over and crumbles. So we'll just slowly work away at this and see where that point is. At what point do we lose it all? We're doing pretty good so far. I'm a master at this. Oh. I can only get so far until you pull out something so essential to it that the whole thing collapses. The Apostle Paul was using a similar illustration about the Christian life and the resurrection. That the resurrection was one such essential block to the Christian faith. If you remove that block, Christianity falls over. And some people in Corinth believed differently about this. They did not believe that their resurrection was as essential as the apostle or other Christians were making out that it was. So we'll just read these few verses together from chapter 15, starting at verse 12. See if you can pick up what was going on. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." It's a pretty important chapter for us as a Christian community to consider why we believe in the resurrection, why our old creeds believe in the resurrection of the body. Why do Christians make such a big deal of believing in the resurrection? Of course, as I mentioned, some people in Corinth believed differently. We see that in verse 12, where they were saying, some of them were saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And so the apostle is just here to help. He is helping them to consider that it is not just a non-essential or a minor issue in the Christian life. It's not like an issue like, how often should we celebrate communion? Should we do it weekly, bi-weekly, monthly? That, if it was something like that, we could just agree to disagree and move on without any love lost. But the resurrection is in a different category. It is not minor. It is essential. Believing what the Bible teaches on the resurrection is of vital importance to the authentic Christian life. So Paul pressed the issue with a vigorous logic. He pushes this issue and he asks for this Corinthian church to consider the full impact and implications if we denied the resurrection in the Christian faith. In many ways, it's an odd sermon to prepare. It is like a preaching to you why Christianity falls over. It's sort of like an anti-Christian message, really, as you read it through. But I think it's an important method of teaching to consider what happens when we take parts of Christianity out, if we disregard some essential things that Christianity is and teaches. So let's take a look at what happens to Christianity if the resurrection brick is removed. Paul will list for us seven ways in which Christianity becomes incoherent and then falls apart if the resurrection brick is removed. Firstly, if we really believe there is no resurrection from the dead, then we must also affirm that Jesus was not resurrected. We've got some sound issues there. All right. We've had ongoing mic issues, so we'll try something different. Thanks, Richie. So firstly, if we do believe there is no resurrection from the dead, we have to also affirm that not even Christ has been raised from the dead. And that's a really important deal. In verse 13, he just says it plainly. If there is no resurrection from the dead, if you deny such a thing, then not even Christ has been raised. And so I want you to think carefully about this. Christians, like the Apostle Paul, believe that God can raise the dead. And that he has proven this by raising Christ from the dead. And last 2 weeks ago, we looked at some historical evidence for that, why it is reasonable to believe that Christ has been raised from the dead. But this week, I'm asking you, as a Christian in a modern context, in an age of scientism, have you thought about what you believe as a Christian? It's a peculiar claim that we as Christians make. We believe that there is a God, and that God can act in our material world through actions like raising the dead. You're not going to read that in the New Scientist magazine. You are unlikely to read that in Time magazine. The Herald will not publish columns like this. So I'm asking you as a modern Christian to consider your beliefs. Do you believe that there is a God who can and has raised the dead, beginning with Jesus? Because it is a peculiar claim to make. You will find little sympathy for that belief. Many in Corinth, of course the ancient church in Corinth, did not believe that. They may have attended church and believed a large portion of Christian teaching, but for them, this teaching of resurrection was a step too far. They were beginning to doubt whether such a God could do such a thing. So think along with Paul for a moment. If we abandon this doctrine that God can raise the dead, it must also be true of Christ, right? That we can't just have an exception to the rule like this. If there is no resurrection, then it can't be true of Christ either. So whatever else we might believe about Jesus, for all the good that he did, his failure to conquer death remains then the final chapter of his legacy if there is no resurrection. And that marks the first stage of Christianity crumbling if we deny the resurrection. everything else that Christians hold dear, believe and treasure as a community, everything crumbles into oblivion from this point forward if we deny the resurrection. Everything we hold dear snowballs into oblivion if we take this brick out. Paul leads us to that conclusion. He says, secondly, if Jesus did not attain victory over death, the work of anyone who seeks to spread and advance the Christian message is a worthless endeavor that's based on a lie. It is just worthless to spend your time preaching or listening to preaching or to make any effort to advance the Christian doctrine. That says it to us like this: if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. I want you to think about this from the apostle's perspective for a moment. The one who wrote this, the apostle, when he converted to Christianity, he poured everything he had into building up churches in the known world and gaining Christian converts. He poured everything he had into that life work. Everything. He committed every portion of what he had to gain a greater foothold for Christianity. And he says to us here quite plainly, if the resurrection is not true, if there is no real resurrection of the dead, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, if it is just a grand conspiracy and a hoax, then everything he's done in his life has just been a giant waste of time. It's been meaningless. So this is of great personal importance to the apostle, that the resurrection is true. As it is to any Christian obedient to Jesus' command to evangelize the world. All those endeavors, you know, as you're building relationship with neighbors and friends in your community that do not know Christ yet. All the money we give to missions. All the prayers that we sow for those around the world. All that, the apostle says, is utterly meaningless if there is no resurrection and if Christ had not been raised from the dead. So I want you to consider the importance of this belief within the Christian body. It is that important to the whole of what we believe. So the challenge in these words, in that little phrase, that our preaching is in vain, the apostle is just asking the church to consider, who were denying that there is such a thing as a resurrection. He's just asking them, why bother? Why are you even attempting the Christian life if it's all just so meaningless? You know, if there is no resurrection, none of it really matters. So why bother? That's the kind of question he's asking this community to think through. Thirdly then, if Christ was not raised from the dead, whatever convictions we have about Christianity would be no more than frivolous ideas. Frivolous religious ideas, right? Of no great importance. Just interesting conversation, perhaps, at best. To take the words of one commentator, he said, if you take out the resurrection of Jesus, and there is nothing left on which to rest faith, only the decomposing corpse of an itinerant Jewish carpenter turned rabbi. Read that again. If you take out the resurrection of Jesus, there is nothing left on which to rest faith. only the decomposing corpse of an itinerant Jewish carpenter turned rabbi. If you take out the brick off the resurrection, you remove the very foundation of Christianity. And he just reminds us with these words, if that's true, your faith is in vain. It's frivolous. So think about this. Jesus himself taught people on several occasions that he would rise from the dead. I mean, that is a big claim to make. Even just as if all you believe about Jesus is that he was a good religious teacher, you must pay attention to these kinds of things that he said. That I will rise from the dead is what he taught people. Of his own body, he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. On another occasion, he says, just as Jonah was swallowed up, so I will be swallowed up by death, but I will be back. I will be back. And again, he just plainly said it to people. He said it this way, that I must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So over and over, Jesus taught people that he will conquer death. But if he wasn't raised from the dead, that kind of teaching is just the delusions of a madman, isn't it? If he wasn't raised from the dead, doesn't these things sound like madness to you? And if he's deluded about raising from the dead, if he's deluded about conquering death, who's to say that everything else that Jesus taught, he wasn't deluded about as well? That if he got the resurrection wrong, maybe he got everything else wrong too. That's the kind of predicament that the Apostle Paul wants the church to see if we remove the resurrection brick. To trust Jesus, who said that he will rise from the dead, if he did not rise, is to trust a con man. That's what it means that your faith would be in vain without the resurrection reality. And the apostle is just pushing a church to see this. Don't be quick to pull the resurrection brick from the Christian body of teaching. It is a doctrine which has magnitude and gravity to it. It cannot be easily disposed of without destroying the whole building of Christianity. So this is what I mean when the apostle is just pushing a church to see the logical end of their beliefs that there is no resurrection. Fourthly, without the resurrection, Christians themselves cannot be trusted when it comes to speaking the truth about God. We see this in verse 15 where the apostle just says, we are found to be misrepresenting God. Talking about Christians in general, we are misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ. We taught people that God is like this, that God has this kind of power to raise Christ, and he did raise Christ. But if that didn't happen, you are telling people wrong things about God. You are lying. And so the apostle just wants them to see this. If Christians are wrong about God at work in the resurrection, You must accept too that they could be wrong about an awful lot of other things about God as well. That the Christian church, if they are wrong about the resurrection, cannot be considered a trustworthy community where knowledge of God can be found. It is that important. If we are wrong here, we cease to be reliable and trustworthy when it comes to telling anyone anything about God. That's how important the resurrection brick is to the whole. Now, we've considered four implications now of how that tower just starts to lean and fall over now. But Paul's not done. There are three more massive implications he wants to drive home to them to make sure that they get it. The resurrection is not just this minor thing that Christians can or cannot believe depending on their opinions. It must be believed and treasured within the Christian community. So he gives us three more implications of what goes wrong if we deny this. In verse 17, he simply says this: if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. This is a big deal for Paul. In previous occasions, he had already told us that Christ came to deal with the sin problem. He said for us in verse 3 of the same chapter, I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with Scripture. For Jesus, dealing with sin was intrinsic to his death. It is what it meant for him to die, to deal with that sin problem. And yet, dealing with that problem would only be validated if he raised from the dead. Follow this thinking with me. Dying in itself, Jesus dying, proves nothing about his mission to deal with the sin problem. All men die. Lots of people died the same way he did under Roman execution. So for him to say, I'm going to deal with the sin problem and die, and that's the end of the story, is in itself not meaningful. It would only be validated if he did rise from the dead. His resurrection is God's stamp of approval that mission has been accomplished. What he said he was going to do, he did, and it has been approved by God. That is what the apostle is asking us to see here. If Christ had not been raised, if death is his final chapter, if he really is just a decomposing corpse, then we are still in our sins. He didn't actually achieve what he said he would. That's how important the resurrection is. So the resurrection is essential to our assurance that Jesus did deal with the sin problem. To borrow Paul's words, we are no longer in our sins, but we are assured that in Jesus, through the resurrection, God forgives, adopts, and welcomes us into his family. So think carefully before you pull this brick out of the Christian structure. Without the resurrection reality, no one, including Christians, have a Savior that deals with our sin. And everyone, therefore, still faces the same prospect of God's justified judgment against our sin without this resurrection reality. We are without hope if this resurrection of Christ did not happen. Even so, You might still think Christians are wrong about this resurrection thing. It sounds too much, perhaps, for you to believe that the dead can be raised. Maybe theologically you can understand why it's important to the Christian community, but it's hard to grasp how the dead can be raised. And I get that. It's difficult to think about that if the material world is all there is and there is no God. I agree. That's not an easy belief to hold. I'd like to challenge you that there is a God, and that God has this kind of power. That the God that Christians believe in is a God that can raise the dead and has raised the dead, beginning with Christ. So if you're willing to consider with me Jesus' teaching, even to this point, that the resurrection is true, I would like you to think what that means for our universal hope for life beyond death. Virtually all people have a hope that our lives don't cease at death, right? It's not just a Christian thing to believe that. It is a widely held belief that perhaps death is not the end. Now, why is this different for Christians? Why is our hope for life beyond death different from just wishful thinking? It is so because Christians would say this, that without the resurrection reality, all hope evaporates of a life beyond death. And that would include Christians. If there is no resurrection, we lose all hope. He says it this way: if Christians have no acquittal or amnesty for their sins, then those also who have fallen asleep, and that's just a euphemism for dying, fallen asleep, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. On a personal note, having buried both Christians and those who were not, I can tell you firsthand the noticeable difference between those kinds of funerals. Even though Christian funerals are sad and there's tears and tissues everywhere, it is sad to acknowledge that death remains an enemy. Defeated enemy, but we still have to face it. Even though it's sad, Christians do not believe those who have fallen asleep or have died, those who they are burying, are lost forever. On the contrary, Christians believe in a future life beyond death. It is a belief that trusts Jesus, who said, "Because I live, you also will live." And Jesus is just saying, the way that I was resurrected, that remains for you as a follower. That too, that reality is coming. Though he experienced it now, we wait. We wait. That's why Christian funerals tend to be more hopeful. Even though they are sad, there is an essence of hope there that we acknowledge, though the body is placed in the ground, that is not the end of the story. Just as Christ's body was placed in the tomb and was raised, we believe that day is coming for those that we have buried who have believed and trusted Christ. And so the weight of Christian belief this way, to believe that in the face and reality of death, the weight of that belief is carried on believing that the resurrection reality is true. Because if it is not, if the dead are not raised, if the Corinthians are right and the dead are not raised and Christ has not been raised, to believe that, it's just wishful thinking. It's not in touch with reality to believe that if there is no resurrection reality to speak of. You need to consider that before you remove the brick from the Christian body of teaching. And so Paul just finishes off with the seventh reflection. If there is no resurrection reality, if we are deceived and misguided about this, we are, of all people, of all religions, of all beliefs in the world, most to be pitied. If we have got this so wrong, we are to be pitied people. Look, this morning we've looked at seven implications. If there really is no God who can resurrect the dead, beginning with Jesus, to do that is to collapse the Christian faith into meaningless dribble and sentimentality. And it certainly is not a religion worth your physical, intellectual, or emotional energy. We mean that if the resurrection reality is not true. On the other hand, if we look at all that Paul has said, the logical argument that he has made here, showing how Christianity just implodes and crumbles, we can take all those things that he has said and we can flip them to see the true meaning of what Christians believe in and through the resurrection. If we turn these negative implications on their head, they become seven positive implications for the Christian. If there is a God who raises the dead, starting with Jesus, Christians know that the defining person of all human history and their king has God's stamp of approval. Laboring to advance the Christian gospel is a noble effort and worth every drop of energy and time you pour into it. Your faith has a sure and firm foundation. Christianity, when faithful to the Bible, does present God rightly to the world. Our sin problem has been dealt with. God is no longer our enemy, but our Savior who has made peace with us through Christ. Christians who lay buried have the assurance of real embodied life beyond death. Real embodied life beyond death. And finally, if it is true, if all this is true and bound up in the resurrection reality accomplished by Jesus, Christians should be considered the most envied of all people in the world. And our hope in Christ, the most desirable.